Will you please pray with me? Holy One, we come at this extra early hour to open ourselves to hearing a word for us as a community and as individuals. And in that purpose, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. My mic. I have a slippery stool, I guess. Can everyone hear me okay? I usually have a loud voice, so usually you won't have any trouble. It might be too loud. So did anyone watch the Academy Awards last Sunday? Some of you did. In preparation, I made sure, it makes it more fun for me, besides trying to see the blockbusters, I now try to go see the live-action shorts and the short documentaries in one program in the movie theater. So I'm a little, I have a skin in the game, as they say. And although I thought that each one of the short documentaries was phenomenal, the film that most moved me to tears was the one that won, and it's called Heaven is a Traffic Jam in the 405. And the title really has very little to do with the film itself. The subject of the film is Mindy Alper. She is a mentally tortured woman in her 50s who has struggled with profound depression and psychosis and severe anxiety. As the film unfolds, we learn about her emotionally abusive childhood, but we also get to see what she has done with the pain of her life. Okay, sorry about that. You guys, I got it. No, I think I got it now. Well, oh, no, a little still, too. Yeah, still, oh. Let's just put it on here. This is what you must go through with having a different preacher every Sunday, right? All these little glitches. I haven't had many times where my stole has, like, done that, though. Okay, we're back on track. I'm from a jazz church, and we always say there are no mistakes in worship. Because we're here to worship. We're not here to have a performance or critique. So things like this really don't bother me. Good. Great. I'm glad to know it. Okay, so back to Mindy Alper. She interprets her phobias and the pain of her childhood through drawings and paintings. And through her brilliant art, she is able to externalize her pain, face it, and partially heal from it, although she's still very, very disabled. While watching the film last week or 2 weeks ago, I actually was thinking about this morning's scripture text and the snake on the pole, the bronze pole. This story is just one of the murmuring stories about the Hebrew people as they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And all the stories go something like this. The people complained to Moses, "Moses, we don't have any food," or "we don't have any water," or "we're tired of the food we have," or some other complaint like that. And then they ask, "Why did you lead us out of Egypt anyway? Things weren't so bad. Sure, we had to work hard. Sure, we were slaves. But we had enough to eat and drink." This particular story, this particular murmuring story, is rather gruesome. Yahweh is fed up and sends poisonous snakes to bite people and poison the people for their whining. I think this is a pretty harsh reprimand for asking, are we there yet? Now, before I go on, let me be perfect, since you don't know me, let me be perfectly clear. I don't believe for a minute that the God I know inflicts disease and disasters on us. Suffering comes from being human and of living on this earth. It is not a part of God's will for us to be in pain. I believe profoundly that God suffers when we suffer. But for purposes of this discussion, let's go with the story, okay? When the snakes begin wrecking havoc, the people run back to Moses, of course, right away, and this time they come for deliverance. And they say, pray for us, Moses. Yahweh listens to you. Please pray for us and take these snakes away. But rather than just making all the snakes disappear, Moses is told by God to erect a bronze snake on a pole, and anyone who is bitten can look at that snake and they will not die from the snake bite. It's something like a modern immunization. The very thing of dread, fear, and illness is used as an object for healing. The snake on a stick embodied is a physical object that embodied God's transforming healing power offered to the people. The wounded and sick looked up to the snake, and for them it became a window of healing. We are bodies. The church's history of forgetting that has caused great harm through the centuries to people and to our planet. But as embodied creatures, we can find healing in physical realities. Sometimes words enough are not enough. We need concrete symbols to evoke the possibility of transformation, the possibility of healing. Now, I'm not sure that I want AR-15s, I guess they're called, to be mounted in our sanctuaries so that we are reminded of the pain inflicted by these instruments of mass murder. But I do know that healing comes from facing what we fear and what is killing us. Many years ago, a UCC chaplain told a story about her work with AIDS patients at the height of the epidemic. She began to notice in many, many men's rooms that there was a crucifix above the bed. And she began to realize this was above beds of Protestants as well as Catholics. It wasn't an empty cross, it was a crucifix. And it was also above some people who had no faith at all. And she started asking the men, why is this crucifix up here? And the men told her that seeing Jesus' suffering body on the cross helped them feel not quite so alone in their own suffering. As painful as it is, externalizing and facing white supremacy or our belief in redemptive violence or anything else that invisibly haunts our lives and our world is the only path to healing. Steve Garness Holmes is a Methodist pastor and poet who sends out devotionals almost every day and very gifted. And he wrote this week, this what I'm going to read you in response to this text. So we gaze upon the crucified one, our victim, and look our awfulness in the eye. And only there grasp forgiveness, and only then become truly alive. On our cross is lifted up our racism, our violence, our materialism, our deep-seated me-first-ism. Posted there is our last text to God. I'll let you know when I need you. We look at it hard to get free of the lie that we're just fine. The lie that keeps us from knowing how deeply we are forgiven, how vastly we are blessed, how infinitely we are loved. Like Mindy, like a snake on a pole, like a crucifix, externalizing and facing our fears and our blind spots can help in confronting and transforming and healing. But objects that represent fear and sorrow aren't the only physical objects of healing that we have. Icons, as you know, are religious works of art designed to be a portal to the holy. Gazing at an icon has been used for millennia to bring the viewer in touch with what is eternal. Crosses, like you have here, statues of saints, statues of the Buddha, the Torah, scrolls, water fountains, all are used to evoke something more than the object itself. Another reality, another sacred space of sacred time. The artist of the film, Mindy Alper, doesn't just draw pictures of her abuse. She also creates massive papier-mâché self-portraits and images of people who have had a role in her healing. Most strikingly to me is an 8.5-foot bust of her psychiatrist who has helped her to bring her back to life. The papier-mâché head has glasses and black hair, curly all over with little ribbons in it, an enigmatic smile, and most profoundly, eyes of love and compassion that radiates hope and healing. For years, I've placed a candle on my kitchen counter when I'm at home. The practice began when my sons were little and just toddlers, and it helped me keep centered in the midst of all the chaos and noise and superhero antics. And it continues to be a reminder of the people I want to pray for. It is a reminder to me that there is another reality beyond my mundane kitchen reality. Or maybe it's a reminder to me that my mundane kitchen is also holy. It is a source of healing for me. So are there objects that remind you of the holiness of life? Objects that heal you? Are there physical objects that remind you, your body and soul, of your deep connection with life and with the divine? Are there elements in this sanctuary, this beautiful sanctuary, things you focus on that bring you peace, that bring you healing? Are there things, maybe you haven't found something really yet or even thought about it, but maybe if you spend time looking at the windows or the side altars or the window in the back or just maybe a color, maybe you can find one thing that when you enter this sanctuary, you can focus on something as a window of healing for you. For us Christians, Jesus is the embodiment of divine love. For us, we seek to follow his path because he is the closest we can get to the mystery of the divine. Jesus is our window of healing. And as followers of Jesus, we are called to let our lights shine so that we can be windows of healing for others. Let us be that for each other and for our world. Amen.